Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, the number one podcast to learn about the hottest men's fashion and grooming brands. We interview the brand owners so you get the inside story. We'll also discuss fashion, business, and entrepreneurship, and all things gentlemen. Whether you're looking to advance your career, increase your style, or just discover the best new products, you're in the right place. And now, here's your host, award-winning author, entrepreneur, and business owner, Richard Taylor. Hey, Rich, let's start the show.
Thanks for that introduction, and welcome back to another episode of The Life of a Gentleman. Guys, I am pumped today. We have some amazing guests. Two great women will be joining us on the show today. One of them will be a contributor to the show in the future. Now get this, she has some experience in business that's really going to help us, especially those in the job market. She's a certified career coach, so she will be dropping some serious knowledge about how to get our employment game stepped up to the next level, how to present ourselves as more professional, things along this line. And also, the other special guest of the week has started a clothing line where they have redefined the necktie. Yeah, you heard that right. This is something I can almost not even describe to you. You're going to have to go to their website and their Instagram, but she does a really good job of describing it, so stay tuned. The brand is called Dwimmer. You're going to see what that is, how they have taken the necktie and put their own twist on it. It's a totally different concept, and when you see it, I think you're really going to like it. If you are not adventurous or afraid to step outside of the box, this brand is going to challenge you to do that, but in a good way. I mean, you're really going to like this interview coming up with Dwimmer. Also, Dennis drops by with some winter style trends and a special, special announcement towards the end of the show. So stay tuned and let's get ready for The Life of a Gentleman.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the interview segment of The Life of a Gentleman. You know, on the podcast, we talk a lot of times about finding new and innovative products that you probably haven't heard of before, and we like that you listen because you get to discover new brands as well. Well, today we have a company coming on that has done something totally innovative. I think it's really going to blow you away. I have on the line with me Laurel from Dwimmer. And what Dwimmer is a necktie company. I really shouldn't say necktie. It's more of neckwear. They have really changed the game. You know what? I'm going to stop trying to explain it. And welcome to the show, Laurel. How's it going?
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we are glad we could connect with you and have you on because, you know, as I mentioned, you have created something. I think it's in its own lane. You've created your own space in the fashion industry. It is neckwear, but it is very stunning. It is very original. And I'd love for you to explain what Dwimmer is to our audience.
Sure. Well, the word Dwimmer means magical or having many guises, and we thought that was perfect for a fashion brand. We have big plans for Dwimmer as a brand, but our first product line, as you mentioned, is neckwear, and we really reinvented the necktie just from the bottom up. We kind of deconstructed the whole thing and invented what we think will be the tie for this century, and ties really haven't changed in about 100 years, so we think it's about time.
Yeah, definitely. That's what stood out to me when I saw it as well. It's totally, totally different, but yet it does remind you of a necktie. How did you come up with this idea? And if you could kind of describe it so that people can kind of visualize this in their mind. I'm also going to encourage everybody to go on the website, dwimmer.com, or follow you guys on social media so you can see it for yourself. But Laurel, go ahead and take it away. Kind of explain a little bit more for us.
Sure. I mean, the tie is such an iconic symbol from the past century, and we really wanted to keep elements of that while partly changing people's perceptions of power and creating something that works for men and women and everyone in between. So we took traditional neckties and started cutting them apart and seeing what we could do, and we wanted to make something that was easier to tie, so that's part of the goal. And I also love metal and jewelry making, so I wanted it to have a metal accent piece. So yeah, we came up with a tie that it has a metal piece around the neck, and the tie just looped through it very simply, so it stays secure, it's always the correct length, and you don't have to remember how to tie it or retie it a bunch of times to get the right length. And we have them in four different shapes, so there's sort of your more traditional men's skinny ties, regular ties, and then we have two shapes that are meant for women, but a lot of men actually like them as well, that are a little bit shorter.
Yeah, I like the shorter one too, and it is nice that men or women can wear them, and I can see how the images that you have show how you can style them, and I love that you can wear them without a traditional button-up shirt or collar shirt, and it looks almost like a stylish scarf, if you will. Was that part of the inspiration at all?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to make something that would work both with a collared shirt, something you could wear to work, but also would be somewhere in between a scarf and a necklace and a tie. And the shorter cropped ties that we have definitely fit in all of those categories.
Yeah, definitely. I think you guys have really achieved that. It has a look, I would say it's an artful look, and it's a great way that you could express yourself year-round as well. In the summertime or the winter. And it looks like you guys are really using some luxury fabrics as well. And the patterns are beautiful. Is that the idea, to kind of create somewhat of a luxurious or glamorous type of brand?
It is. I'm really passionate about textiles. I love to travel and find them wherever I go. I'm also starting to design some of them myself. So we're working with some really amazing designers from different countries and collaborating with people. We're starting to do like hand-painted ties and leather ties, but we're also planning on launching a line that's at a lower price point. Right now, all of our ties are handmade in California. They're really beautiful, but not everyone can afford them or wants to pay, you know, $100 to $200 for a tie. So that's something we're working on for next year.
Okay, yeah, that would be nice to open up the market, like you said, to just about everybody. But this is definitely something that if you did wear it, you know, a lot of guys want to have a statement piece, and I guess this really would be it. When you step out wearing Dwemer neckwear, I think everybody will notice, probably stop and ask you what it is, where you got it. Have you found that to be the case with yourself or maybe people you know that have made a purchase of the neckwear?
Yeah, definitely. We've had some really funny evenings where, you know, either I will go to an event wearing a tie or I'll go with a few guys wearing them, and it ends up being the conversation starter the whole night. Especially if I've worn one out and all the other women at the party are wearing dresses and I'm wearing a tie. It's kind of a fun gender play and gets people's attention.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. You know, the funny thing is, though, if you're the kind of person that wants to get attention or likes attention, this is the perfect product for you. So, you know, what's been the funniest story that's happened while you were wearing it or out with somebody who was wearing it? Has anybody ever tried to come up to you maybe and figure out how it's put together?
Yeah, I mean, I've had people walk up to me and just hand me cash saying they wanted the tie off of my neck.
Oh, wow.
And people are just really curious. They want to see how it's tied. A couple times I've just brought a few ties with me and just handed them out to people at parties. I've had a lot of fun with it.
So when did this concept actually become a brand? How long did it take you to go from an idea to starting the business? And what year did you get started?
I really had the concept for Dwemer as a brand first. It's something I've always wanted to do, start my own sort of fashion lifestyle company. So I thought of the name and kind of this aesthetic and this lifestyle that we're going for. And then I had already had the original concept for the tie in the back of my mind, but I hadn't fully developed it. So starting in about 2013, we started working on it and really launched the company in 2014. But now we've been selling the ties for about a few years in the making, but we're still pretty new.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a couple years under your belt, that's really nice. It looks like things are going in the right direction. I see on the website that the design is patent pending. So how's that coming along for you? What's that process been like?
It's been really interesting. We've learned a lot from it. There's some old patents for neckties from like the 1930s and 40s that are interesting, but nothing really like ours. And we've been working on the application for a little over a year, so we should be hearing pretty soon on that.
Nice. That'll be beautiful once you get that nailed down, and then nobody will be able to copy this idea. You know, I have to really applaud you because You know, like you said, neckties, they haven't changed in, you know, hundreds of years. And this had to take a lot of courage to step out of the box and say, you know what, I am going to put my own twist on neckties and come out with something that is simple to wear. And like you said, high quality. And also it mentions gender neutral, which is awesome because I think everybody can get involved in wearing and supporting this brand and checking out these products. Were there anybody in your life or maybe a business partner that didn't share this vision and that you had to convince that this was the right way to go?
I wouldn't say that. I would say I've had overwhelming support, and the doubt has probably only come from myself. My dad is actually really a master craftsman. He was a woodworker and a contractor, and now he's helping me make the ties. So he actually helps sew them and cut the fabric and really helps me develop the manufacturing. So that's been really amazing.
Oh, that is awesome to have that kind of support. You know, the reason I ask is because a lot of times people have an idea and they're kind of scared to step out there and put their idea out into the universe. Your last answer, you mentioned the word doubt and overcoming that doubt. So could you give some advice to those budding entrepreneurs that are probably listening right now? What advice would you give them to overcome doubt? Because I think that kills a lot of dreams.
I mean, if you find that there's a need for something that you want yourself, that's probably a good sign. If you talk to people and they also think there's a need, it can also be a good sign. But sometimes other people don't have the same vision as entrepreneurs do. I think a great thing to do is get a mentor. When I first started the company in 2013, I worked with a mentor for 6 months, and it really prevented me from making a lot of mistakes, wasting money, things like that. Just finding somebody in the industry you want to get into that's willing to help you out for a few months while you get started can be really amazing.
Yeah, that's some great advice. Mentors can really help guide you, cut down on some of the learning curve, and encourage you when times get tough. And that's awesome. Thank you for that little bit of advice there. We appreciate it. You know, another thing I wanted to mention is some of the charity work that you guys are doing. A lot of people like to make a purchase and feel good about that purchase. Can you speak to that a little bit? Some of the ways in which Dwemer gives back?
We have so many beautiful fabrics that are sort of thematic. We have one that has a jaguar on it and some that have flowers on them. So we thought it would be really neat to sort of coordinate those patterns with charity organizations. We don't do it with every single site we sell, but with certain ones that are really themed, we donate $10 from the sale of each of those ties to a different organization. So, for instance, we have the tie that has the jaguar on it, and we're donating to a large cat rescue organization. So they rescue lions and tigers and other large cats from captivity, from zoos. We have a tie that has bees on it, and we're donating to an organization that sets up beehives in San Francisco area.
Oh, that is awesome. It's so nice that you guys give back, because I think that makes people feel good about the purchase as well, knowing that some of the proceeds are going to these deserving organizations. So
yeah, people have a lot of fun with wearing the bees and then being able to tell people, oh, we're donating to bees, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know what? That's very important. People sometimes forget about the causes that are behind some of these brands. And it's nice that when you are having some success as a business and entrepreneur that you can give back and help out others. So we appreciate that as well. But, you know, one thing I have to stress during this interview is that everybody has to go onto Dwemer.com. You have got to see this for yourself. I know we've done a pretty good job of describing how it looks, but I don't think I'm able to do it justice. So I would love if everybody listening would go to Dwemer.com and check this out. And Laurel, how can we follow you on social media and things like this so that we can stay in touch and see how you guys are styling these one-of-a-kind pieces of neckwear?
Like you said, we just launched our new website yesterday, actually, so it's all fresh. And you can follow us on Instagram at Dwemer Style. That's the best place. We post a lot of pictures and videos there, behind-the-scenes shots. We're also on Facebook at Dwemer, and we're on Twitter at Dwemer Style as well.
All right. There you have it, guys. You have got to follow them on Instagram, Facebook, all social media platforms. And don't forget Dwemer.com for the ties for tomorrow. You guys will not be sorry. I think you'll really appreciate it. And Laurel, we want to say a big thank you to you for coming on the show today, telling us about your amazing company. And we appreciated your story as well as the designs that you came up with, because they really are something special.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Hey guys, let's dive into a brief style discussion, tips, suggestions, and fashion ideas from a guy who knows style. He inspires us on social media, personal stylist, and retail expert, Dennis Styles. It's the Style Tip of the Week. Hey Dennis, bring the heat.
How you doing, everyone? I'm Dennis Styles. I've kind of been away for a couple of weeks, taking a little break. I'm glad to be back, and we're going to pretty much dive into some of the hottest trends that's going on right now in the winter for all us gentlemen. It's been an amazing season. The weather's been a little bit cold, but as far as fashion purposes, I can't recall a more precise, intense, amazing, retroactive fashion pretty much all over the cities, all over the globe, as far as fashion trends. So I'm very excited to dive into this next subject. Pretty much going to talk about some of the pieces that are must-haves right now. Parkas. What I mean by parka is pretty much parkas technically being used right now as a dressier form of pico. Wouldn't you agree with that, Rich?
Yeah, I see a lot of people doing that. So it's definitely something that's hot right now.
Yes, actually, it's pretty much to wear over your suits. You know, it's not just to keep you warm. So keep that in mind when you buy a parka. It's not just not only to keep you warm, but it's also very much stylish. Another pretty much technical jackets, meaning fur jackets, raincoats, vintage military jackets, all that good stuff is also hot items right now. And also, you're able to dress those up too. And another amazing piece is actually a lot of stuff that I'm seeing right now is bold patterns. What I mean by bold patterns is shirts and pants and suits, meaning not your conventional colors, meaning blues. Now all you see is you see a lot of browns, monochromatic patterns. So a lot of the stuff that's going on right now is, you know, stuff from the 70s, stuff from the past ages that we so much loved in fashion.
Yeah, now what if guys not used to doing that? You know, they're just more traditional and they want to make a change and get a little bit more modern. How do you slide into that?
It's pretty easy, my man. Take that same blue blazer that you mostly wear all the time. There's nothing wrong with a, you know, happy-go-lucky blue blazer. Is it stylish? Yes. Is it safe? Yes. Is it gentleman? Yes. Is it exciting? No. So what you do is you break that blue blazer up with a checkered pant. And instead of wearing your bunk straps, you can do boots now. Chelsea boots, brogue boots, anything that's different. So first you must start with one piece at a time, Rich.
Yeah, you don't want to just dive in and just show up looking like a whole new person, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you could flip it around, too. What I mean by that is you could wear blue, keep the blue pants and change the blazer to a more, you know, edgy look.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one thing you mentioned is the military-inspired look. Kind of describe that for us, just so we know exactly what we're dealing with.
Well, this is how it works. What I mean by military look is everything has to be neat, meaning that tie better be pressed up, clean, pinstripe ties. I'm not talking about, you know, ties with reindeers on them. I'm talking about real cool old vintage ties.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good look. Something I like to do, you know, I'm an old soul. I like to get in there and dig and find some of those old gems, you know, at a thrift store or vintage shop.
Yeah, exactly. Also, another thing that I want to emphasize too is tweed blazers, stripe patterns, those are hot right now. So make sure you have a tweed blazer or either corduroy pants, nice white button down. You can also recreate your own button downs now instead of buying the store. That way you're able to use the collar bars. Do you have any collar bars at home, Rich?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One just basic, you know, one silver, one gold.
I mean, how amazing are those pieces though? The tie right over that is just, or under it, however you want to wear it.
Yeah, you get a lot of compliments when you step outside the box a little bit. So, you know, guys shouldn't be afraid to expand their comfort zone.
Yeah, everything from before is everything. All the military uniforms were very clean and well put together. It's just precise tailoring and layering, meaning vests. Everything is vests, pants, you can wear boots, striped ties. And also, you could wear fedoras, any other type form or hat that's dressy enough to be worn with a suit. The Ivy League caps are very good with that too.
Oh yeah, yeah, that is another good look, especially as it starts to warm up just a little bit. But if people want to see the style in action, how do they follow you and check it out?
Yeah, I got some good looks there recently, so you can follow me on at Dennis_Styles and check out some of my latest looks, where I'm a little bit mixing up some of the new stuff with some vintage pieces.
All right, Dennis, sounds good. Hello, gentlemen. Richard here from Harrison Blake Apparel, and I would like to give you a special offer. What we would like to present to you is a coupon code SEASON, SEASON. That will give you $15 off your first monthly box from Harrison Blake Apparel. If you don't know what Harrison Blake Apparel offers in their monthly package, listen up. It's one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for the low price of $25 per month, which includes shipping. That's right, shipping is absolutely free. So get one necktie plus four matching accessories for only $25 a month. But use the code SEASON, SEASON, and get your first month with $15 off. Thanks for listening to The Life of a Gentleman. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the edition of The Life of a Gentleman. This is the segment that we've all grown to love, where we talk to a professional that is going to come on and enlighten us. Today, we're going to be really educated because this is something we all need, especially if you're just getting out of college or thinking about changing gears with your career. We have on a special guest, Deborica Russell. She is a certified career coach, and she is here to help us answer all things about our career. Deborica, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're glad you could join us. Now, for those that may be wondering, what is a certified career coach exactly?
Well, a career coach is someone that helps people decide what career path they want to pursue. The fact that I'm certified means that I have special training in it. So some career coaches do like DISC assessments. I use a program called MyPlan. And so you answer about 75 questions. And from how you answer those questions, I help you decide where you need to work at. Biggest issue I see is that people get a job in an industry just because it's easy, or mom and dad knew someone, and then you just keep staying in that field, but you never realize why you keep getting burned out 6 months or a year into your brand new job. It's because you probably don't need to work there. There may be things that you like about that job, but it's not where you really, truly need to be. My company, which is Agape Career Counseling Group, what I do is I want you to find the love of work, i.e. the word agape, and so that's why it's so important that you get a certified coach, because they're going to be able to help you find a straight and narrow path to get to, you know, loving what you do.
Man, that is so important today, because I would say that statistics show that, you know, many people are unhappy on their job or in their secular profession. What are some tips you can give us to kind of follow our passion or maybe go in the right direction when it comes to looking for employment?
Well, if you're a brand new college graduate, go Florida State, go St. Leo University. if you're a brand new college graduate, what you want to do is get your hands on some sort of assessment, because a lot of times we pursue a career that's either a major that's either easy or something that we're familiar with, but we may not love it. So most college students end up switching majors 2-3 times, and then they kind of get tired and just say, hey, let me just get what I'm closest to and be done with it. And so you may find yourself in a career where you really aren't happy. So if you take that assessment, it's going to tell you where you really need to be. So for example, in my situation, I got a job in management when I was 19, and I just stayed in management because it was easy to get a job in it. I like management. I prefer leadership more. And so I didn't realize that I was a leader more than a manager. So I like to lead people to get to the ending versus manage process. And so once I realized that I was unhappy in that career field, then that's when I decided it was time for me to go back to school, get my master's in business, so that I can get a focus in HR and get to career coaching. And in career coaching, you lead people to the designated career where they're going to find that love.
Man, you know, we keep talking about this test, you know, where you take those 70 questions. I'm curious, you know, when you administer that test to people, are they sometimes surprised at the answers they get back?
They're surprised that it's so accurate. The surprise is that they're asking you simple questions like, would you rather paint a fence or build a house? And you're like, I don't care about either one, but I'd rather do this. And so what it does is it pegs your personality. So if you're a social person, you need to be in an interactive career field where you're touching people, because that's where you recharge your battery. But if you're an introvert, you have no business being in the restaurant industry, because you're going to die at work all day long with all of these people talking to you and giving you stimulation and having that expectation that you interact. So taking the assessment kind of really tells you what your personality is and where you should be working.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Appreciate you clarifying that for us. You know, another thing that people are probably interested in is their resume. A lot of times, that could be a big differentiator if you're looking for a job. What are some of the top resume tips that you would suggest for people to kind of get a leg up on the competition?
I would tell anyone, if you can, get a certified resume writer. And the difference between a certified writer and your aunt or your uncle or your cousin who speaks well is because the certified resume writer knows the rules and regulations. So, for example, being in HR, being in management, there's certain things I do not want to see on a resume. And I will tell you, I saw them more than I'd like to see them. And so there are going to be things like, I've got resumes with social security numbers and dates of birth. And wow. When I called the person, exactly, and said, hey, did you know that your social was on it? And he's like, yeah, my sister wrote it. She's a doctor. So she may need that for that type of resume for her industry, but you're trying to be a truck driver. I don't need your social and date of birth on your resume. And so they're just common mistakes that people make in innocence because they didn't know, and it can end up hurting you, because if that resume falls in the wrong hand, you gave them everything they need to become you.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know, that you just mentioned. There's a difference between a professional and somebody who has a little bit more work experience than you. So if somebody wants to work with you, what's the process like? Let's say they come across you on social media. What's the process like after that once they meet you?
So once someone finds my company, the name of my company is Agape Career Counseling Group. So once they come across my company online, they would send me an email, and they'd be able to email their resume to me. My email address is agape, A-G-A-P-E, C-C-G, as in cat, cat, goat, at yahoo.com. And so they would email me their resume, and I would go through a critique. And so what I'm doing is I'm taking a fine-tooth comb to figure out where you're missing the mark and why your phone is not ringing for that interview. Because what I find is that a lot of people put more information on the resume than they should. So they think that it has to be their whole entire work history of 20, 30 years, and what that tells me is how old you are. So if I'm looking for someone that's 35 and you have 30 years of experience, you just told me that you're at least 50 years old.
Yeah. That can be a negative sometimes, right? The age thing, whether you're older or younger, is that correct?
Yes, there is discrimination for your age. There's discrimination at the age of 40, and then there's reverse discrimination when you're too young. So if I'm hiring a store manager in my retail environment, I don't want a 19-year-old. But if you come in and show me what you need to show me in the interview, I just may take a gamble on you, but you can't tell me that you're 19 on your resume. And so a lot of people put the year of graduation, and that tells me an approximate of how old you are. And so you may skill yourself in or out of the job market. So there's a bunch of little innuendos that your certified resume writer is going to be able to catch that, you know, your friend may not know about. Another thing about resumes is a lot of people don't pay attention to grammatical errors. That's huge. Most resume writers are undercover editors. And so when we see too many things, we're just like, oh, red light, I can't read this. And so we kind of throw it in the I'll get to it later file, and sometimes we don't get to it. So when you're giving someone your resume, that is your best foot forward from what they know of you. And so you want to make sure that it's as perfect as it can be.
Yeah, it's another good tip. You know, I never thought that putting the graduation date on there would be something you might want to think twice about. That's a really good point.
Definitely. Because if I can guesstimate how old you are, I'm already going to have my own biases and stereotypes. And so if I feel like someone too old is going to be like the whole can't teach an old dog new tricks, I'm not going to call you if you're 55 or 60.
Yeah, I guess that's the sad reality of things in the workforce today.
It is.
You have so much experience. You know, you're also, as we mentioned, certified career coach, but you've also wrote a book entitled Mastering Your Career Journey, 11 Experts Unveil the Secrets to Success. You know, when I heard that title, I was really intrigued. Would you mind telling us a little bit more about that book and what we could expect to see inside the pages?
So the book is a collaborative effort between myself and 10 other authors, and we're all from different backgrounds. So I myself have 15 years of management, with three different Fortune 500 companies. Several other authors have either recruiting, whether it's corporate recruiting or staffing agency recruiting. A couple of authors have life coaching experience. Some authors are in the military. One author is in the military. And so what we do is we answer these nine questions from our different truths, which is our work experiences. So, for example, a military or a federal resume is completely different than a civilian resume. And a lot of people don't understand that. So if that's your reality, then you want a resume writer, you want to get the correct information for the reality that you're in. So if you're a federal person and you're looking for a federal resume, you wouldn't go to someone that doesn't know about federal resumes, because they're not going to be able to get the job done properly for you. And so in the book, we debunk a whole bunch of those ideas, and then we let you know the best way to salary negotiate, which is a hot button because everybody wants their money. Some people are too timid to ask. Some people are too cocky and they get kicked out of their interview, and other people just accept less than they should because they don't know how to put their best foot forward. So the book definitely gives you like nuggets of information of how to best win in your interview.
Yeah, I like that as well. You guys are hitting it from all different kind of perspectives.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds like a good read. If you are in a job now, you know, there's a lot of people that are on a job and, you know, they kind of like their job and everything, but they want to advance. Is that something you can also help people with?
Yes. So in career coaching, we always want to have a plan. So what's the famous quote? If you don't plan, then you plan to fail. So if you're at an employer and you know you want to get that promotion, then what you want to do is you want to come in day one and find out what is the opportunity. What are the biggest issues facing this job? And then within your first 90 days, your first 6 months, you make sure you resolve all those problems. So when your year review comes up and you're ready for your raise, they can't help but give you that money because you solved the problem when they told you what it was in the beginning. And so what you do is when you walk into that annual review, you have your confidence. And so if they come and tell you something that you don't want to hear, like, hey, we can't give you a raise because of X, Y, and Z, that's when you can give the pushback, politically correct pushback, and say, well, you told me these were the issues, and I resolved the issues. So I've created revenue. And so then they're going to say, you know what, this person really gets it. They understand. We need to pay to keep them, because they're not going to want you to walk away because they understand that you understand the bigger picture.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, I don't know, I don't have any statistics, but it seems like most people are a little bit afraid to speak up and speak out, kind of stand up for themselves, especially when it comes to negotiating a raise or a salary. What would be maybe some of the terminology that we could use, or a line of reasoning that we could use to kind of help the employer see things our way?
So when you're salary negotiating, you really want to make sure that you're confident in your abilities. You want to make sure that you know that you solved the problems that year you were there. So I always suggest to my clients, find out what the issues are when you first get the job. And then once you start making progress and you're going ahead to solve those issues, let that manager know, hey, remember when we first sat down, you said you were having an issue with productivity. Well, productivity is up 20%. Send them an email, send them a text message, or stop by their office and let them know. So what you're doing is you're kind of sort of being a tattletale on yourself, so that when it gets to your year review, they know that you have solved all those issues. They know what the expectation is. You don't have to go in there and say, I deserve a review. I deserve a raise because I've been here a year. It's going to be, hey, they deserve a raise because they fixed all of our problems in a year. So you don't have to ask. It's going to be given.
That's a great way to do it. You know, really going in there with a plan seems like something that you're preaching. And, you know, for those that are looking to get a little bit more help, you know, now that their appetite is kind of wet, how can people get in touch with you and reach out to you and also purchase the book?
My book is available on my website, which is agapeccg.com, and it's under the shop heading. If they want to get in contact with me directly, they can email me at agapeccg@yahoo.com. So I have all of my information online, all of the services. It tells you a little background information about me, where I got my formal education. And then I have some clients that say, hey, how are you qualified to tell me how to get this management job? So I even have times where I have to send someone my resume to prove to them that this is where I've gotten on the corporate American ladder, so that they know that they can trust what I'm saying to be true. And I always make sure that I'm well connected into several different industries, because my My industries were travel, retail, and management, but I've never worked in the IT field. So I have several executives that work in IT that tell me, hey, if you're trying to get an entry level, I need to see this on a resume. I better not see that on a resume. They need to say this in the interview. And that's how I'm able to coach my clients to win in their interviews. Because the one thing you don't want to do is spend all that time researching the job and get there and freeze up because you don't know how to sell yourself.
Wow. Yeah, no, it seems like it'd be of a great benefit of those that are looking to advance their career or even just starting out their career to work with somebody like yourself. And we really appreciate your time coming on the show and giving us this information about, you know, our careers. So thank you for joining us on The Life of a Gentleman.
Thank you for having me.
Well, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of The Life of a Gentleman. We are so glad you tuned in. Hope you got some value out of the show. You know, we learned a lot along the way. We want to send a special thank you to Debrica for coming on and talking to us about how to advance our career and also the difference of a career coach and a resume writer, the difference in what they can do for you. But also, special thank you to Laurel from Dwimmer. Follow them online at Instagram at Dwimmer Style, spelled just like swimmer, but with a D. That's Dwimmer Style. And you can also check out their website. Want to also say thank you to Dennis for coming through with the style tip of the week. And now for that special, special announcement. There's really going to be two. Here's the announcement, guys. If you want to start your own brand, if you've been on the fence thinking about it, you now have the opportunity to work one-on-one with somebody that has done it, somebody that's been successful, and really can show you the way, the shortcuts, the ins, the outs, the do's, the don'ts, how to navigate in to starting your own brand, whether it be in men's or women's fashion. That person is me. I'm actually going to be accepting clients to work with them, to guide them towards their dream of starting their own brand. So if you're interested, drop me a line at The Life of a Gent on Instagram or thelifeofagent.com. You can fill out the contact form. But there's also another special announcement. We're having a meetup in Las Vegas in February. February 11th through the 14th, myself, Dennis, Darius, we will be in Las Vegas looking to connect with others that want to partake in a photo shoot, a meetup, a get together first. Just some social interaction, get to know the team. But also, if you're interested in business and you want to get to know us and you want to pick our brains, we'll have a roundtable discussion. So that's in Las Vegas, February 11th through 14th. We'll be right on the Strip. We are attending the Magic Fashion Expo, so we will definitely be doing some research, thinking how we can bring better products, more innovative ideas to the market. But also, if you'd like to join us there and connect, let's do that also. Just drop us a line, thelifeofagent.com. Get with me on Instagram, at thelifeofagent. We would love to get together and hang out and meet with you. We're actually bringing our photographer with us. So there's an opportunity if you'd like to be featured on some of our Instagram pages. We're doing some photography shoots, and also those will be featured on the HarrisonBlakeApparel.com, perhaps the website, but also the social media pages there as well. So we look forward to meeting you. Anytime we travel to a new city, we try to do it as a group, and we want to connect with our audience as much as possible. So guys, hope you enjoyed this episode, and until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties, lapel pins, and much more. Join the monthly subscription club where you will receive one necktie and four accessories for $25. To learn more, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com.